Midwest Outdoors Magazine on your newsstand now, and the all-new MidwestOutdoors.com, loaded with video, articles, and TV episodes.
The old man ran the bait shop in Eudora, Mississippi. He had his whole life story mounted right there on the wall. There were ducks and bucks and smallmouths and a few old faded pictures and the same three cocky rednecks grinning in a mall. One day I said, "Hey, mister, looks like you got some keepers." He said, "That's right, I've known them boys since we were only kids. I know what you're thinking, son, but the keepers in those pictures ain't the ones I'm holding, they're the ones I'm standing with."
Welcome back. Little Red Akins, my good buddy Red Akins. Love turkey hunting with that guy. He's so much fun. That's an awesome song, Volker Wagner.
Yes.
Welcome back. KFNS 590 The Fan, your handsome but yet humble host, Ray. Midwest Outdoor Studios, deep within our bunker, undisclosed location.
We're celebrating Christmas here at KFNS 590 The Fan, here with the Volker Wagner, Matty G, and Peanut.
You going to say it?
Live mobile on demand.
I knew he wanted to say it. He said it. He said it. We're having a great Saturday morning. We're going to go out to grab some guy. What's his name? Mark Strand or whatever?
But what this guy look like?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a little guy, kind of funny looking.
Uh-huh. In what way?
Oh, just in a general kind of way.
Okay.
Looks like she's going to turn cold tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a front coming in.
Yeah, you got that right.
You got that right. Let's play a little intro for this guy, huh? Here we go.
You are turned on to Midwest Outdoors Magazine. Since 1967, helping people enjoy the outdoors. It all starts right here, right now.
Yeah, baby, gonna start right now, right here, Midwest Outdoors.
The one and only Mark Strand. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Good morning, Raymond, and Merry Christmas to everybody in the studio.
Awesome, awesome. Another great issue of Midwest Outdoors Magazine. I know you've been really, really busy. We got the issue here.
Wagner has his copy. Matty G has his.
When I have my issue of December 2016 in my hands as well.
December issue of Midwest Outdoors Magazine. Ned Keating's on the cover here. He's holding up a big fish. Not a deer, but a big fish.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, on the cover is Ned Keating, and he's a legend in the fishing world. And in particular, his work with finesse. He fishes bass primarily, and he keeps records on everything that he does. And he helped, along with a few other people, pioneer what has come to be known as the Ned rig, named after him. And he's such a humble guy that he says that he wishes it wasn't named after him. But it's all about finesse fishing with soft plastics and certain style jig heads. And he talks about bass a lot, but as we show in this interview, these catch virtually every fish that swims. And so you're going to want to read this cover story. It's by another one of our, we have a really talented team, as you know, and Dave Mull is another guy who does a lot of writing for Midwest Outdoors, and he's on our staff, and he's been through the grind when it comes to fishing and fishing history and whatnot. So Dave Mull is the one who interviewed Ned Keating, and it's all about development of the Ned rig and the discussion of finesse fishing in general. It's fabulous.
Sounds great. Fishing's cool.
But
this time of year, everybody's talking about deer as well, you know. And I have to say, I couldn't help but notice cold weather muzzleloading. Well, that usually does happen. A lot of muzzleloading seasons are late winter. Tell us a little bit about that article.
Yeah, so now the author's name is Luigi DeRose, and he's from Canada. So he knows a little bit about cold weather muzzleloading.
Yeah.
And he, yes, it's a great wrap-up of the things that he's learned over time. And then he also discusses some things that were developed by other pioneers in the muzzle loading community, you might say. We don't love the term community, but the muzzle loading family. So that's all about how to make sure when you go to take a shot with your muzzle loader in cold weather that the thing is going to operate, right? That your powder is dry, that everything is in order. And if you like to archery hunt deer, we have a columnist named Bernie Berenger who's been around the block. He literally lives for traveling around to hunt deer. And he's got a great piece on last-minute archery bucks, how to find where these deer are, what they're doing at this time of year, and then how to fill your tag if you have one left. And for the deer hunters out there, and this article would actually pertain to virtually any time of year, but one of our best writers, Andy Douglas, he takes one of the best overall looks I've ever seen on scent control. So if you're a whitetail hunter and you want to look at all the options that you have for scent control and kind of how to apply different strategies, that is one of the best pieces I've ever seen on that subject. So we have a lot in this issue for late season deer hunters.
Yeah, and I'm going to switch back to fish now because I can't help it because I'm looking at this monster fish, Dan Gapin and Bob Arani here. This thing is a monster. It says it's a, what is this thing, a 309-pound fish? Where'd they catch this thing?
It was a Goliath grouper, I believe. That's an interesting piece, especially for people who would like to travel in the winter to somewhere warm. You know, everybody doesn't stick around for the whole winter if we, you know, live in these northern climates. And Dan Gapin and Bob Arani are writing about big fish that they've caught in their travels in the winter. And there's big tarpon. They're discussing how they catch these fish when they go on these warm weather destination trips into, you know, South America. You know, he's just, especially Dan Gapin, he has really traveled the world. In fact, he's got a book out. I think it's called Adventure Fishing the World. I've actually got it right here close to me. I think I could find it.
Mark Strand, the guy that should know about cold weather, he finally thaws out in Minnesota in July.
No kidding. Yeah, it depends on the year, but sometimes it comes in June.
Well, one of the things as an editor for the magazine, and you're always work, and you're always at the computer, but every once in a while you get out in the field, and you just came back from a recent trip. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I know we were talking about this a little bit off air, but I just got back from a trip that I took at the invitation of two of my friends from Pheasants Forever, Jared Wickland and Anthony Houck, and the Pheasants Forever guys are fabulous. We have an alliance with Pheasants Forever. We love what they do. They call themselves the Habitat Organization. The work that they do benefits not just pheasants, but whitetail deer and quail and virtually all other species of wildlife. So I absolutely love Pheasants Forever and what it does. And we took this trip out to South Dakota and we were hunting pheasants and we shone the light on public hunting land and there's a lot of public hunting grounds. We were hunting near Aberdeen, South Dakota. And if you're looking for a place to go, there's a guy out there who helps let the world know what's available around Aberdeen. His name is Casey Wisemantle. These guys take it to the extreme. They want you to have a great trip. They meet visiting hunters at the airport in Aberdeen with pheasant sandwiches and give them information to get them aiming in the right direction. So we hunted a whole bunch of public ground on one of the days, and then the second day of our hunt, I saw the future of private farmland management that takes into account you got to have production and profits, right? So if you're a working farm, you have to be able to make money at it or you lose your farm. That along with creative work and efforts that place a value on wildlife. I have not seen this many wild pheasants. They don't stock this land at all. It's the Johansson farm, not too far from Aberdeen. Eric Johansson, his brother Corey, and their parent, they run a big cattle operation. They farm crops, but what they do with their land, no-till cover crops, the way that they creatively grow different strips of like sorghum mixed with corn, etc., etc. They are careful to protect nesting hens, ducks, pheasants, all types of waterfowl. The number of deer and the number of pheasants that I saw on this farm was beyond what you could count. There were times when there were hundreds of birds in the air at once. We would pull up to each spot we were going to hunt, and as we're, you know, getting out of the trucks and kind of getting organized, you know, sending people in different directions, there was never a time when there weren't pheasants in the air for you to watch flying around. And so that's something that I want to talk about more going into the future is creative private farmland management and what's going on at the Johansson Farms. And in the Aberdeen area, they have banded together and created something that they call the Aberdeen Pheasant Coalition, where groups of landowners, they're not waiting for the government to come up with the next CRP or CREP or whatever kind of program. They are deciding to do something about management of the land, health of the soils, health of wildlife populations, because they value pheasants and other wild critters. And Aberdeen, South Dakota is a place to go if you love to hunt, because there's all kinds of opportunities. I absolutely loved my time out there.
Well, that's good stuff. We're going to have to do another show just about that type of information with you.
We can even get Eric Johansson to come on, because he's very well spoken. He literally gave us, we built it as the Conservation Forum. He gave us a 2-hour presentation, and then he opened it up to questions.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So
let's get him lined up. That sounds like a Mark Strand interview to me. All right, let's get him lined up and get him on the show. That'd be good stuff. Well, we need to get out of this segment, Mark. I appreciate your time, and the December issue, like every other issue, comes out. You guys just keep doing a good job.
Thank you. It's a lot of work. As you mentioned, I get pinned down at my computer quite a bit, but somebody's got to do it, right?
All right. Thanks, Mark. And we need to get to the other side. We need to take a break, and so we'll see you all on the other side, baby.